Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Bill Kuselis joining us. We're talking about a more elaborate range of UFO-related theories, including, of course, the Men in Black and Mothman. Bill, okay, we talk about co-creation, and one of our friends, Greg Bishop, has written about that. It's like the collective unconscious, but we have personal control over it. Is that what you think?
To some degree. I hesitate to use the word control because I don't know what I can really control within my, sphere of influence, so to speak. But it does certainly seem that when you begin to start looking at these things, that as you'd mentioned before the break, we kind of see what we're predisposed to see in some way, shape, or form. And in some ways, it appears that we're co-creating some of these phenomena.
Well, just before the break there, you were starting to go into telling us about some of your own personal experiences, and I'd really like to hear some of those. So how about some personal experiences from Bill Kuselis?
I really appreciate that. Yeah, Randall, thanks for that. The first thing I guess I'd like to share with you and with the audience is that September 6th is a big number to John Keel. In the Mothman Prophecies and a lot of his additional writing, September 6th seems to be a magical number in some way, shape, or form. J.P. Peril, who we talked about a few minutes ago, who was the investigator and radio show host on WBAB in Long Island back in the 60s, was born on September 6th.
You see, I missed this from 3 days. I was born September 9th. I was 3 days late. I was just messed up totally.
That explains it, Gene.
Gene, you're in the ballpark. You just didn't hit it dead on, that's all. So what I was going to say about September 6th, and this is a number that keeps coming up, not just in Keel's writing, but also in my personal life. And I'll share with you that in addition to J.P. Peril being born on September the 6th, Keel allegedly worked with a number of alien abductees, women, who were all born on, you guessed it, September the 6th. Now, my wife, Jackie, and I have been together since 2004. We met on September the 6th. Her son, my stepson's birthday, is September the 6th. This year, on September the 6th, I posted onto Andy Colvin's Mothy Talk Facebook site some synchronicities that I had stumbled across in some of his writings by a gentleman. And that day, on September 6th, out of the, 2,500 to 3,000 pages Andy's written about Mothman, there was a clip that he had cut and pasted into one of his books written by a gentleman whose birthday was September 6th. So I wrote about this on his Facebook page. Didn't think much about it after that. But later on that day, my stepson was here for his birthday party, and he went home. And lo and behold, the woman that he was involved with at the time is a little imbalanced. And I kid you not, an arsonist burned his house down on September the 6th. So there's just all these different crazy occurrences that have taken place. And, and I almost hesitate to use that last one as an example because it was not good for that.
Yeah.
Nobody was hurt. But, yeah, I mean, September 6th, like you would not believe.
I trust he got rid of her after this.
Well, she's currently incarcerated and probably going to be going away for a long time. I think they're done.
Wow. What are the chances, though, of all of those dates lining up? What would the skeptics say? It's got to happen somewhere at some time. There's only so many days in the year, and sooner or later, somebody's going to have a bunch of out-of-the-ordinary experiences that happen on a particular date.
Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that agrees with that. And there's a part of me that knows that I find what I look for. And I totally respect that point of view. But there's just a few too many coincidences, and I don't really believe in coincidences at this stage of my life. I see them more as synchronicities and almost that I'm on a path of discovery and I'm being keyed into keep looking, keep looking.
Exactly. What's the saying? If there's one coincidence is just a coincidence. Two coincidences is interesting. Three is a conspiracy.
I looked up here famous people born on September 6th. Roger Waters, Pink Floyd. Actress Susie Kurtz, Idris Elba, of course, you know, great British actor who's appeared in all sorts of roles. So just a couple of examples. Asher Angel, TV actor, born on September 6th. I don't know that that means anything because obviously every day of the year you'll find somebody famous born on that particular day. Just pointing that out.
Sure.
And of course, Roger Waters. That's right. That's Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
They had an album called Saucer Full of Secrets.
Well, there you go.
So now we're looking for a pattern, so, you know. But well, I still think know, it's cool.
Let me ask you this, though. What year did that album come out?
I'm not sure, actually. But it had to be around 60s. There.
Yeah, 66, 67, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly when it did come out, though. I wonder. Well, we could probably look it up here as we go on with the show. But let's continue covering some of these interesting points that you've got here in your bio and that we posted on the Paracast community forums. And one of the things that I'm curious about is this connection between John Keel and someone named Mary Heyer.
Yes. And Mary Heyer was the individual that I was speaking of a little while ago, who was the Athens, Ohio messenger field reporter, who was the one who was responsible and kind of Keel's right hand in the Point Pleasant UFO and Mothman investigations. She was his friend, and he went to great lengths to define it as a platonic friendship. They went out into the field and looked for UFOs. She is the one that was with him when he was doing the descend Morse code, which resulted in the UFO coming down the stairs in the falling leaf fashion. And she was his correspondent, you know, up until when the bridge went down and after the bridge went down. She passed away, unfortunately, I want to say in 1970, just a couple of years after the bridge went down and all the major Mothman phenomena was over in Point Pleasant. But somebody who was very much involved in the investigations that are a part of a lot of his literature.
Another thing about that, too, is that, you know, isn't Point Pleasant, I'd heard this somewhere, and I'm not really the expert on this. You sound like you're very well informed, but aren't there some military bases around there or something like that where people were, like, isn't there a connection there somehow?
There really is.
Let's talk about that a little bit because I just heard that in passing and it wasn't that long ago, but I didn't get a chance to follow up on it much. So what's that all about?
So back in the 1940s, there was an installation that was put together to support the World War II effort. And what was built there is now called the McClintock Wildlife Preserve. But back in the 40s, it was a munitions factory where they built TNT for the war effort. So that was a very self-contained type of an operation. It was not necessarily hush-hush, but it was put together in a fashion where the TNT itself was stored in these concrete igloos. And there were 100 or more of these concrete domed igloos that were in this forest preserve, for lack of a better way of putting it, in which dynamite was stored, and it was somewhat camouflaged so that if any enemy aircraft had gone above this facility, they wouldn't really know what was going on there. But there's theory behind the whole Mothman phenomenon and some of the ufological activity that was taking place in the 60s that this energy, this Mothman energy or what have you, was somewhat drawn to this area because it had a history of, you know, damaging warfare type things that were being built there. and that somehow this energy was drawn to it.
Bill Kuselis joining us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Let's continue with that item about energy, Bill.
Yeah, what I was going into was basically there's a theory that the Mothman energy was drawn to the TNT area because it was an area where basically items of warfare were manufactured. And there is also pretty prevalent theory that this Mothman energy is more of a Garuda or Thunderbird type of a protector deity that is kind of a harbinger to warn of things that shouldn't be going on, or at least to heighten the awareness that there's some negative energy that's manifesting that people should be more aware of. So to answer the question in kind of a long form that was posed to me before the break, yes, there was this army type of manufacturing that was going on within that area that was there right there. Not necessarily a base, but it was a place where these things were being built, munitions were being built and stored. Yes,
they were still being built back in the mid-60s while this was going on. Like we had the flap, the Mothman flap, between 66 and 67. So was this base actually in operation at that time?
So interestingly enough, it was shut down back in the 40s. But when the Mothman was sighted, then the military came in and basically quarantined the entire area. Now, the factory itself was shut down. Nothing was being built there, but the National Guard came in and wouldn't let people go in and take a look at what was going on. I mean, there was other theories.
Oh.
Perhaps whatever this Mothman thing was captured. Nobody said anything about it. They got out of Dodge with it, and that was it. But, yeah, they came and shut the area down back in the 60s.
Or did they? I mean, if you've got these weird domes and stuff out in the forest and you've got this flap going on, I mean, you know, how do we know really what was going on out there? Maybe, you know, they wanted us to believe that things were being shut down, that maybe they were no longer being used for munitions, but some other kind of thing was going on, because that seems pretty unusual that they would actually send out, you know, a bunch of troops to, I guess, what, keep people away from them?
That's what's alluded to in the literature in Kiel's Mothman prophecies. That's what he talks about, is basically the area was shut down. It was quarantined. And it was all hush-hush. And this is the same time that the Men in Black were in town. Now, I can tell you the TNT area is about 10, 11 miles north of Point Pleasant proper. But it's close enough that that's where, you know, kids would go. That's where the Mothman was first sighted, by the young kids that were out cruising around and were chased by it.
Interesting. Well, then maybe I guess we could just say, maybe there was a safety concern there. Maybe there was some leftover munitions lying around. They didn't want any adventurers to get out there and find themselves in trouble on one of their military bases or something, or ex-military bases.
Could be, but that's not as fun. I agree with you on that. That is possible. That is possible.
Okay, so what is this other connection here between this character? And I've heard of this character before, but I've never really looked into it too deeply. I'm not sure that it really went anywhere, but it was kind of interesting. Indrid Cold.
Indrid Cold.
And Woody Derenberger.
Yeah. So Indrid Cold was this alleged spaceman, or possibly a man in black, depending upon who you talk to and which day of the week you're having the conversation. But around the same time that the Mothman was first sighted in 1966, a furniture salesman who basically had just gotten into that line of work, having been laid off temporarily from one of the factories in the West Virginia area of Parkersburg, which is a little north of Point Pleasant, he was headed down the road, Route 77, coming home after work one night, driving his work van. He was able to get up to about 50 miles an hour in it. It was a little rickety. He had the different appliances and such that were in the back of it he was going to take out and sell eventually. But in any event, he's driving down the road, and he notices that there's a vehicle coming up behind him, and it's coming kind of fast, and lo and behold, it's not just a car. It flies right over the top of him and then settles on the road in front of him. Now, he doesn't go in to say he had to slam on the brakes or anything like that, but interestingly enough, this vehicle he describes as like a teapot type of a device that's sitting on its end. Spaceship is sitting in the middle of the road, and he comes to a stop, and he sees this being step out of the tea kettle type spaceship, and he said he's a younger guy, a good-looking young man, black hair, slicked back, wearing odd clothing, and has his hands basically underneath his armpits with his arms crossed in front of his chest. And he approaches Woody Derenberger's vehicle and begins to telepathically communicate with Woody. He speaks to him, but he doesn't really talk to him. It's more this psychic connection, and basically starts asking Woody some pretty mundane questions. He points to the area where the lights are in the distance, which is Parkersburg, and he asks, what is that? Woody tells him, well, it's a city. It's where, you know, we do commerce, and people go to work and these types of things. And Ingrid Cold allegedly says back to Woody, well, we have those on my world too, which is, by the way, far less powerful than yours. We have them on our planet as well, and we call them gatherings, like the word gathering, but with an E. He pronounces it gatherings. So the two of them have a several-minute conversation telepathically, and at the end of it, Ingrid Cold basically tells him, I will see you again in time. And then he gets in his spaceship and he takes off again. Woody goes home and talks to his wife, and he's white as a sheet, and he's never like this, so she's concerned, and he asks his children to go to bed, or mother even asks them to go to bed. Woody was always very friendly with his kids, so this was not something that was common for him. This was not typical behavior for Woody Derenberger with his family. So the kids knew something was up as well, and long story short, he tells his wife about this, and the next day he basically goes to the police, and he gets on to a newscast, and before you know it, all of a sudden, Woody Derenberger is infamous, and this Ingrid Cold legend just takes off. And so you've got this phenomenon of this spaceman who's visited Woody Derenberger happening right around the same time as the Mothman prophecies are developing down in Point Pleasant, you know, within, you know, a 90-minute drive from where Woody is. So all these odd things are happening in this pretty tight geographical region during the same time period.
Very interesting. Now, did Woody ever encounter this Ingrid Cold again in the future?
Well, again, that depends upon who you ask. And John Keel basically said that he believed Woody Derenberger's initial story. He believed that Woody was in earnest and he wasn't making things up. And Woody actually went down to Florida to NASA, I believe, and was interviewed and basically interrogated by top military brass, allegedly, about this whole Ingrid Cold thing. And they had him see a psychiatrist, and he passed with flying colors. So it didn't appear that he was lying, but Keel didn't necessarily believe some of Woody's subsequent stories, such as, and Woody has a book called The Visitors from Landulos. Allegedly, Ingrid Cold was from a planet called Landulos.
We're going to break here and have more to come. With Bill and Gene and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump was having difficulty breathing on Friday before he left the White House, and he did receive oxygen before he went to Walter Reed Medical Center. It's standard protocol for treatment of the coronavirus. The president's physician, Dr. Sean Connolly, says there are a few conditions that place the president into a higher health risk.
He's 74, he's male, and he is slightly overweight. Other than that, he's very healthy.
He also
said.
He did have a fever Thursday into Friday, and since Friday morning, he's had none.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said that the president went through a very concerning period on Friday. He also said, "We're still not on a clear path yet to a full recovery." On Friday, the president was given a single dose of an experimental drug that supplies antibodies. This is USA Radio News. There has been some conflicting reports on just how sick the president is and whether or not his doctors are being straightforward about his condition. Dr. Nita Ogden, an internal medicinal specialist and immunologist, says this.
This is not just a mild infection. He's at the hospital. Now he's receiving two experimental therapies as well. I feel like he was probably moving in the direction of somebody who's looking sick.
Dr. Matthew Hines, who worked during the Obama administration, says he doesn't think the president's doctors are telling us absolutely everything.
At one point, I remember the doctor saying that he doesn't anticipate the president will ever need oxygen. And that's a stunning thing to say. I have no idea with my patients that have coronavirus when they come into the hospital if they're going to do well or they're going to be on a ventilator the next day.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from The Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Now, Bill Kuselis, as you were talking, I was looking up Woodrow Derenberger's book from Vantage Press, which was, I guess, originally published by Gray Barker's or Sarian Press. Visitors from Lamulos. It's a small book, like 111 pages, and I think largely out of print. But you're saying the original case, Bill, may have had some factual connection to it, and subsequent encounters were faked, or what?
Well, that's what Keel says, and that's the way that he portrayed the entire thing with Woody Derenberger. He went so far in one of the video documentaries that I've watched to state that he believed that Woody was a pathological liar. Now, that's pretty strong language, but we know Keel didn't really pull any punches, and he was kind of prone to say things that maybe we wouldn't say in polite company these days. That being said, Woody has some pretty interesting tales in Visitors from Lamulos, and I know his daughter, Tanya Derenberger Bowman, has a subsequent book that she's put out called Beyond Lamulos, Our 50 Years with Indrid Cold, where she goes into some of the background of her experiences with Indrid Cold and his family and his friends who were also visiting them on a regular basis. So she goes at length and discusses it as well, too.
I'm looking over a newspaper story about this, about Woody Derenberger. And it said here, Woodrow's overall experience as a contactee didn't just negatively affect him, but his family and his closest friends. It came by way of years of harassing phone calls, losing jobs, losing friends, people trespassing on his property, ridicule, embarrassment, painful headaches, and depression. He suffered a bitter divorce and had to move away from the area because of his notoriety. So, I guess, if anything else, whatever the issue was, it's not something that he profited from. publishing a book with Gray Barker Sorsarian Press is, it's kind of like a movie in the 30s and 40s. The Poverty Row movie companies like Monogram, Sorsarian Press was below Poverty Row when it came to publishing.
Mm-hmm. Woody did not profit from his experience of Indrid Cold. I think that's 100% accurate, which really speaks to whatever was happening to him. At least he was trying to describe it in the best way that he knew how. It doesn't make any logical sense that he would damage his entire professional reputation as well as his family and his life just to talk this stuff up. So I think there was some substance to it, or perhaps maybe he began to suffer some type of a mental illness. That part I don't know. But I think he believed what he said. I think he did.
Let me ask you a question here, kind of an outside question, because we cover it every so often on the PowerCast. Have you considered that any of the stuff that has been going on in and around the Silver Bridge, Mothman, and other events may have had some government inspiration?
Yes. Absolutely. I think there's every possibility that that could have been a government operation to be able to test just how quickly information can spread. And as I mentioned earlier, Kiel, one of his military specialties from his time in the Army, is known as a disinformation specialist. So I think there is some validity to the perspective that it may have been a government operation. Now, to pigtail with that or to dovetail with that, there has also been a recent documentary that came out on one of the history type channels that talked about some Green Beret operations that were happening in and around the area of the Mothman phenomenon in the 60s. And in that particular story, the actors went on basically, or the host went on basically, to state that definitively they felt that these were Green Beret that were in some type of flying suits that people were seeing that were obviously outside of their experience and had never encountered anything of this nature before. And they just attributed this folklore legend to it. So I've heard that too. And I have considered that perhaps this is just something that, you know, maybe it was a misidentification that went viral and turned into a legend 50 some odd years later. That's entirely possible too.
I think the reason we raise this is because we think of government experimentation with people and drugs, especially in those years. Even going back to as far as the Roswell case, which may have been a government experiment gone wrong. And I've suggested, although some people will object to it, that even Barney and Betty Hill, their UFO abduction, was really something instigated by the government.
And again, I do think that that is entirely possible. It is a part of me, a part of my personality that is very conspiracy-oriented. So I think that's all within the realm of possibility. I just don't know, and it makes the story that much more interesting to me.
Of course, though, then you have to ask, well, you know, how are all these people involved? I mean, to get the witnesses, and either they actually really did have flying suits, or they had to get a witness to say, I saw somebody with, you know, some creature flying that they didn't really see. You know, and there seem to be too many of these witnesses and too many of these events and too many people involved to really make a convincing case that any kind of hoax of that scale could be pulled off convincingly.
And what's interesting, Randall, about that perspective is that we're talking about a very small micropolitan statistical area. Point Pleasant, Gallipolis, Ohio, and the greater area is a general population around 6,000 people. Now, in 66 and 67, there were at least 100 witnesses that came out and described this being. And they talked about the glowing red eyes. They talked about the sense of dread. They talked about the shadow aspects of the phenomenon. Their descriptions were all very, very similar between two different things. Now, I will say that it was not known as Mothman during the time of the initial flap. When it started in 66, it was referred to by the locals more as the Big Bird. And there is a shoe salesman by the name of Thomas Urey who actually goes on at length to describe this large bird that followed him on his way down the road on the way to work. And he described it specifically as a large bird. So you've got two different descriptions. There's the traditional Mothman description of this 6 to 7 foot being with the eyes and the wings. And then you've got this big bird description also that takes place several times as well. But close enough that for 100 witnesses in a small area like that, like you say, it's kind of hard to just dismiss it out of hand as one single misidentification. You've got a lot of witnesses there.
Definitely. Well, now, when we hear about the bird explanation, one of the ones that I'd run across before is that it was some kind of a very large owl, possibly very light in color. And in one case, someone was suggesting that actually it had gotten into some sort of phosphorescent dust somewhere during his travels. And somebody actually said that they had witnessed this themselves, and it turned out to be a big owl. Now, we don't know that they're talking about the Mothman, but I've seen owls at night, and they are pretty weird, and some of them are rather large. And if you just see them fleetingly, and you don't really know how far away they are, I could see how it could sort of maybe cause someone to think that something more unusual than a bird had flown by.
And I agree, there was a theory of it being a large or a barred owl. And there was an individual who actually shot an owl in his barn and had people come take a look at it to identify it as to whether or not it was the Mothman. And they didn't believe that it was the same thing. And there was another theory.
Let's talk about that other theory,
Bill.
More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, called E2 Technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your real water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
We have Bill Kuselis, and we're talking about Mothman and the strange creatures. Was it an owl? Well, people who saw the owl that I guess was shot down, Bill, that they said this is not it. But then again, people seeing things under weird or unexpected circumstances might have mistaken it. The thing I want to go back to, though, is the legend of the Silver Bridge and the Mothman being something that signaled its crash. Now, obviously, there are legitimate reasons why it crashed. And we've had this situation around the country, a country where infrastructure is going to you know where. Very old structures, not properly maintained, and we get accidents like that one. There's nothing in the crash of the Silver Bridge that's unusual. It's just an unfortunate event, right?
Well, and there was an analysis done on the bridge and the components of the bridge, and they were able to determine that, and the bridge itself was constructed by what they called an I-bar construction, that I-bar number 13 had a slight fracture that basically, over time, that bridge had been built in 28, so 40 years later, over time, that slight fracture got to the point that with all the turbulence and the larger vehicles, it ended up pulling that I-bar apart, and the whole bridge went down, kind of like a just a house of cards.
Yeah, which is understandable. But what's this you're saying, Gene, that there was like a precursor to this or some kind of a warning?
Well, they're taking the appearance of Mothman as something that signaled or predicted its arrival, like a banshee. The Mothman being a banshee warning of impending disaster. Otherwise, why do you connect the events?
Okay, so in other words, there wasn't this sort of a, say, like a banshee scream before the bridge collapsed or the sighting of the Mothman at the time the bridge collapsed or anything like that. It was just another thing that happened in the area around the time that this was going on.
It's not the only place where a Mothman-type creature was seen. What's your impression, Bill?
Well, and I've heard varying versions of what you're talking about, but basically the one that I believe is that, no, there wasn't a big banshee scream by Mothman that warned or perhaps even brought the bridge down. And I've also heard that there was a sighting of the Mothman sitting perched upon the bridge when it went down. But for the most part, the people that I've talked to and the investigating that I've done leads me to believe that that's just more of an old wives' tale. Now, the thing that I do find interesting is that Keel had written about some reports of a couple of individuals who were seen basically climbing on the bridge dressed in clothing that one would not expect them to be dressed in for both this season, being in December and very, very cold. And also the fact that usually when guys are servicing a bridge, they're going to be dressed in clothing that's good for doing outdoor cold weather type work. And these guys were wearing plaid pants and checkered jackets and dress shoes, which just seems really, really bizarre.
Well, then are you suggesting maybe that this was sabotage?
I don't know that I would say that I believe that it was sabotaged, but it seems awfully coincidental that there are a couple of odd characters on the bridge the day before that, and I don't think you can rule it out. Even if the investigation has proved otherwise, it seems oddly coincidental that that would be taking place.
What about some of the alleged Mothman photos? Like, with the, there's been a couple I've run across, you know, going online where it looks like there is this sort of strange creature on top of a building that's kind of got these, it looks like sort of wings kind of maybe folded in a little bit, but definitely kind of weird. I suppose it could be a person in a costume, but, you know, has anybody, in your opinion, actually got a good picture of this thing?
Not that I have seen in particular. There was a photo a year or two ago that was circulated on Facebook. Someone took a picture in the Point Pleasant area and said, is Mothman back? And at first glance, you take a look at it and you think, wow, if there really is a Mothman, it might look like that. But if you look at it closely, and my wife, who is much more detail-oriented than I am, took a look at it and she said, that's a bird of prey carrying a snake. And as I took a deeper look at it, I thought, you know what? It is. It looks like a large bird of prey carrying a snake. And I'm not saying that people don't have pictures of it. I haven't seen any pictures that speak to me of what I think it would look like. I haven't.
Now, let's really point out here and make it clear. You and your wife make regular trips. You live in Illinois. So what kind of trip is it to go to West Virginia?
It's a bit of a hike. We've been out there every year since 2016, and we'll be leaving again next week to head out to Point Pleasant for a week-long excursion and visit and investigation and nice vacation during the COVID era. But, yeah, we go out there. This will be our fifth year in a row. It's a 501-mile drive to the Silver Bridge from my door.
So it's a long one-day's drive?
Yeah, it's a haul, but you can do it in one day.
Obviously, with the pandemic, it's got to be difficult. What do you do as a day job? Can you tell us?
Yeah, absolutely. I have worked in technology sales for 22 years. I started in 1998 with a small Xerox agency, and I've stayed in that industry for the last 22 years. It's been good to me. It allows me flexibility to pursue things like this and still hit my quota, so it's been a good fit for me.
And no, you know, nobody at your work gives you the evil eye, or you know, when you start talking paranormal.
I get a little bit of confusion. We're an old family-owned, large, small company, for lack of a better way to put it. But I think for the most part, people find it as entertainment, and the folks that I talk to about it, they've never heard me talk about it in such detail as we're discussing presently. So to them, it's just a weird kind of fun thing that Bill does, and hey, that's cool. You know, it helps him sell. And it frankly.
Yeah, sure. I mean, okay. I mean, that's a really great attitude, actually. And it is a really kind of weird, fun thing in a way to do. And there is an entertainment aspect to the paranormal that can be just interesting and fun. And we don't always have to take it super seriously. But still, what for me anyway, I think you guys would probably have to agree, that part of what makes it even more interesting is that there are these little kernels of truth in terms of people having genuine, really weird experiences.
Yes. Yes, there absolutely is. And that's the part that, and like I just mentioned, the folks that I talk to on a casual basis about this, they think it's cool that I'm doing something fun. And it is fun. I absolutely love it. I feel so fortunate to have conversations with guys like you that are in this world, and we can just brainstorm and have fun discussing it. That's awesome. But there are so many other serious aspects to things, so many synchronicities, numerical aspects, astrological connections. There's all kinds of really neat stuff. And I'll tell you, the folks in Point Pleasant that I've become friends with out in that area there, I like to share with people that the legend of the Mothman is what brought us to Point Pleasant. It's the people that bring us back. They're just the greatest, most welcoming, fun-loving, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee type folks. I just love it out there. It's a fantastic place to visit.
Might be a nice place to move. Seriously speaking, have they done anything to make this a tourist attraction of some sort or what?
They have done a wonderful job of turning this into a tourist attraction. Yes, absolutely. Since 2002, there are a couple of individuals who founded the Mothman Festival. A man by the name of Jeff Wamsley, who's become a friend of ours. We see him every time we go out there. He has the world's only Mothman Museum. And what Jeff has done for decades is to collect all kinds of memorabilia, newspaper clippings, movie memorabilia, one of the telephones that's in the movie itself that Richard Gere slams incessantly as he's getting these weird phone calls from this alien entity. Jeff's got so much cool stuff there. He and Carolyn Harris, who unfortunately passed away after we met her the first time we went out there, they co-founded this Mothman Festival. And with the exception of this year, because of COVID, they had to shut it down. But they're up in the 13 to 15,000 people range for one weekend in September every year. And they just do a phenomenal job. And it's brought so much additional business and tourism to Point Pleasant. It's been a really wonderful thing for them.
It doesn't happen on September 6th, does it?
September 6th.
September 6th. You said it happens every...
No. Oh, I thought you said Timber 6th. No, is that... I thought, is this a term that I'm not familiar with? That's possible. No, it's not September 6th, but it's close. It's around the 18th to 20th.
Well, maybe next year, something to consider. Bill Kuselis joining us, talking about Mothman and all the things around it. More to come with Gina Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.